Welcome back to Geek Show.
Stop.
Oh, yeah.
You are not driving the show.
Land
you are listening
is driving
to the Geek Show
week.
Help Desk. Tony, don't stop my parade. This is my show tonight. I'm
Sorry,
doing the
guys.
Thing.
I tried.
Welcome to the Geek Show Help Desk.
We talk about tech, science, and gadget-related news, but let's be honest. You don't come here for that. You come here for us and how cool we are, and mainly when we poke fun of each other.
It's more like gouging at times, I think, but yeah not a poke.
Sometimes full-on disemboweling.
We could rename to the gouge it spot.
That's pretty good.
That's really good, actually.
For those who know our old name.
Yep.
Yes.
Now let's introduce our panel of awesome people. Let's start with Jaren.
Hey, this is me. I'm Jaren. You can find me on Twitter at Jaren and Geek Show Arcade as well.
Awesome, thank you. I want to take a quick note that I did not gouge you at this moment. I could have, and you
no,
did,
you
but
are,
I did not.
You are the better man. Well
thank
done.
You. Let's talk to Owen. He's got the most tech cred.
Yep, down here, gouge-free corner, safe place for anybody. If I'm here, I'm a little under the weather, so you're not going to get my sultry radio voice today, but
this is
follow
your,
me on Twitter, at TechNoan.
Your breathy,
this is like the,
that's
you know,
even more sultry,
raspy voice. Yeah,
like raspy. I think it's better.
Hey. Mm-hmm. Follow
and
me
we have
anywhere.
We have a former host, Tony.
I bequeathed my hosting duties and then tried to take them back at the last second when the show started, but it was too late.
Nope.
Check me out on Twitter at QuadTTony or on the other Geek Show, many of the other Geek Show podcasts. And we have hosting today. Lando.
Today or forever?
One day only.
Today!
Owen's going to do it next week.
Yeah, no. Owen's up next week.
What?
1,000% you should do it next week, Owen.
I opted out. I said, I'm good. I had no qualms.
Nope. It was opt-in.
You should have showed up to the caucus. It already got voted through. Sorry, bud.
dang it.
Yeah, so my name's Lando. I'm here. I'm the host, and I'm the best. That's all I have to say. Jaren, do we have any emails?
No emails, but if you do want to email us, you can email us at geekshowhelpdesk@gmail.com.
Thank you. All right, let's get into it for this week. We got a lot of good stuff for you coming at you. The thing that excites me the most is the new Apple news.
News?
Nobody's surprised about that.
No surprise at all. We're getting the boring stuff out of the way first.
This is how Apple should talk about a lot of their products, though. Just
here's this
publicity blast, email blast to the big, outlets, and put it up on the website.
Yeah,
especially like, for stuff like this.
Yeah, spec bumps.
Yeah,
don't have an event. Just put it
we
out.
Don't need any,
so good.
We don't
good
need
on
their hands for that.
Yeah, good on them for that. This time,
and, what did they Tony?
Well,
they
basically dropped the M3 processor into the MacBook Air 13 and Air 15.
Are just essentially MacBook Pros at this point, right?
That's the thing is it blurs the line quite a bit.
Yeah. The screen, not nearly as good.
The biggest difference is going to be the screen and just the raw number of cores and on the CPU and on the GPU.
Well,
so,
you can get a MacBook Pro, though, with just the normal M3.
Oh, you can get the 14 with the normal M3.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
You can't get a 16. So with the M3 in the Air 13 and the Air 15, you get 4 performance cores, 4 efficiency cores, and I want to say 12 GPU cores. Let me scroll down here.
Scrolly.
Just to make sure, and they in classic Apple fashion, they don't have specs readily.
They won't have specs on their
viewable
own.
Viewable on there.
No.
10-core CPU.
The only thing they make...
Thanks,
no,
Jaren.
It's
GPU.
It's 8-core. Yeah,
8-core
okay.
CPU, 10-core GPU.
10-core GPU. But they do make sure and manage to plug their neural engine. That's 16 cores. You can find that information very easily.
What does that mean for the normal person?
It means
today?
Nothing.
Right.
But... all of that is to say that the M3 is actually a fairly decent jump over the M2. We're talking like around 20% on the CPU and 40% on the GPU. Even if you don't like Apple, I think that for your average user, this is still the perfect laptop.
It stayed the same price, right?
Yeah, the price is staying the same. And then if you want
same amount of RAM, though.
That is stupid. Don't ever buy 8 gigs of RAM in a laptop, everybody. Mm-hmm. Please get the 16 gig model.
I think for most users on this machine, it's fine. I have no problem with this for most people, right?
Us tech
people, not okay. But for my mom and dad, if they want a new computer or laptop, this will browse the web. It'll do the emails.
How good are they at closing tabs?
It's fine.
Yeah, they'll have hundreds of tabs open. They need the RAM.
Even still, it'll be fine. I'm not worried about it.
No. I think 16 should be the baseline.
That will be better for sure, but I'm not upset about it yet. If we're still having this conversation next year, fine.
No, we will. I'm pretty sure. I wouldn't be surprised. They might do like a little incremental, like 12 gigs of RAM, you know, some sort of
12.
12
that's
right
on the edge
on the border
of being okay. Maybe that's okay. Maybe.
So you can get it with 16 or 24 on the Airs.
I'm still with the tight integration between the hardware and the software. I'm still okay with 8 for the moment.
Have you ever used a computer with 8 gigs of RAM in the last 5-10 years?
My parents have a Mac Mini with 8 gigs of RAM, and it's fine.
Have you ever run into being memory bound or CPU bound though?
Me, no.
Okay. It's the worst. That
when you do it, you will never want it again because there's no fixing it. There's nothing. Like, you have to either close stuff and that
That's
you're
fair.
Using. Like, it's kind of something that once you experience it, you hate it so much more.
Yeah.
So.
But anyway, they're the same price as they were before. As a result, the M2 is now $100 cheaper if you want to go with the Air M2, which is still a great
choice.
Laptop.
Yep. I would do the M2 with more RAM.
Yep.
If personally. You had to choose, yeah.
Trade it in, yeah.
Yep.
These kind of laptops are just absolutely wonderful for your average user. Anyone that's not going to be doing heavy video editing or
students and stuff like
or photography editing. Yeah.
Well, the battery life alone. Yeah, I don't take my charger with me anywhere anymore because I've never used it.
So I got rid of my MacBook. Well, I'm still trying to get rid of it, but went to a gaming laptop. About a month ago, went back to a gaming laptop, and that is by far the thing I miss the most is the battery life.
For me, it's the heat. I put the gaming laptop on. I recently got one too. Surprise, surprise, Tony gets something and I get something. I put it on my lap and like, dang, this thing gets hot because I've been used to the MacBook for work.
You gotta have that cooling
for
pad.
Years now. Yeah.
Which one did you guys get? Or do you guys get the same model?
Same model.
Of course.
Well, no, Jaren went with the more expensive one that has the mini LED screen, and I went with the regular.
It's the same model minus the screen.
Yeah. Is it the G16?
No, I desired it, but ultimately it was too expensive for me, and I went down the performance rabbit hole.
Just doesn't hold up compared to the full size laptops performance wise. Yeah. We got Acer Predator Helios 16s.
Oh yeah, those Helios ones are pretty good.
So I've been very happy with the performance.
All right, and let's talk about the same thing we've talked about, you know, 5 times now. The side loading. Tony, since we're on the Apple subject.
It's here. We're here. We made it, guys. 17.4. Side loading is out.
Times.
It's out.
It's the same dumb story.
It's not out unless you're in Europe. Sorry. False alarm. Still can't side load here
VPN?
In America or anywhere else.
Are they tracking hardware like IME numbers?
I really
like,
want to know how they're tracking.
I guarantee they are.
We don't know how they're doing it for sure.
Region code on the board.
But what if you're a EU citizen, happen to buy your phone here, take it back?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so they'll probably just say, "Sorry, Charlie."
Yeah, probably.
Buy one from your Apple Store in UK.
Just one of you guys with an iPhone, get a VPN and try it out.
I have a VPN. I can try it out.
Connect over to Europe and see if you get to sideload something.
How would I know?
There you go.
Yeah.
So Jared,
well,
they
made side loading so janky on it that I don't even know how many people actually made their stuff available to side load. But
yeah,
are
there tutorials on how to do it? It's pretty new for Apple. So
I don't
think there's even any third party stores yet because it's still pretty early. Sure. And
well, I would assume
you can only download
the APK. Like
no, you can't. You can only download stores, which will then distribute. Yeah.
So it's not even real side loading.
So you got to go get like
it's just more stores.
You got to go get like Amazon's app store, you know,
if they make one.
Yeah,
so.
The only
the Kindle
at this
app.
Point, so I think the only one that's confirmed that they're making a store is Epic, so they can distribute Fortnite.
Right, of course, yeah, it's going to have exactly one app.
Yeah, it will make millions. Yep.
All right, let's stick in the mobile vein of things. Let's talk about Android apps and Windows.
This was a feature that was released on Windows a couple years ago. It's the Android subsystem for Windows. Basically, you can install Android apps on your Windows device. And in theory, that sounds really cool, because on macOS, you can install iPad apps, iPhone apps. But how many of you out there have ever installed an iPhone app or iPad app on macOS?
Nope.
Lando. On purpose?
Yeah, I didn't. I installed the Jira app. That's about it.
Okay, all right.
Because I want a native app for Jira.
Yeah,
it's not great.
Every time I've wanted a native app, I've gone to the Mac App Store, and the developers have not made it available. So it's not great. Anyway, so Microsoft offered this, but they are pulling support starting in 2025.
I would like to see the numbers behind this.
Was this
Was
this their WSL Linux?
Like no,
This is
different.
My question is is it gonna affect the WSL? Because the WSL is actually great.
Linux baked in.
So. I don't think so.
Linux is separate from Android.
Sure.
So I don't think it.
They're both Linux, right?
It is the Amazon App Store to download apps. So it was a cool idea. I really liked the concept. Just seems like people,
never ended up using it.
Yeah, people use the web instead.
Yeah.
Bummer. All right, Owen, sticking on the mobile theme. We've got a heavy, heavy theme here tonight. Going with the TikToks.
TikTok is getting is potentially going to get an ultimatum. So
from who?
From the U.S. government. There's a bill that's been introduced. So, you know, ByteDance, the Chinese company, and you heard the stories that broke out where, you know, it was embarrassing to have our lawmakers talking about TikTok. That was super embarrassing.
Not just TikTok, but the internet in general.
Just
having them talk about technology in general, like, was
literally
just painful.
Like, this is not fake. There was a guy that was asking the guy to go on record and telling us that their algorithm doesn't watch our pupils dilate to confirm whether or not we find interest in a video. And if TikTok has access to the internet.
To our Wi-Fi,
right. So it was embarrassing for sure. But one of the reasons is because the parent company of TikTok is ByteDance, which is a Chinese-owned company. There was a story that broke that there were some reporters that were doing stories on Chinese leadership. And some of the data from their TikTok account apparently made its way to the Chinese government. That's allegedly. And that's what started was kind of the impetus of this. And so America, obviously TikTok is huge, huge. And, so everybody, especially the Biden administration is pressuring, TikTok or ByteDance to sell TikTok off. So that it's not a Chinese subsidiary.
Right. That's not going to happen.
I mean, they're making so much money. And not only the more valuable thing that they're getting is the data.
Yeah, right? I'll bet they're not making a dime with the expenses of keeping it up and everything. I doubt they're turning a profit, but the data they're getting
the
from
data
it.
The data they're mining. And also, they've started the TikTok shop a lot more in there now. They take a piece of that. I'll tell you what, though,
on my TikTok, I feel like every other freaking post is a sponsored post or a TikTok shop post.
Yeah,
maybe they are
making almost
money
making
now.
It.
How can you go back?
Awful.
That's what I've seen the most is how do we turn off TikTok shop?
Yeah,
I hate it. So they're introducing a bill that would force ByteDance to sell TikTok in order to remain available in the U.S. And it's called Protecting Americans from Foreign Adversary Controlled Applications Act.
Well, then they need to start doing that to a lot of other apps, too, because I'm sure TikTok's not the only one, right?
You got to go after Temu. You got to go after AliExpress.
Yeah.
You got to go after...
Not AliExpress. I just discovered it.
Not my Temu.
Well, you can still access it on your browser, just not app form.
So here's the thing. They're just going to the law would just prohibit app stores from distributing it.
Yep.
But Android lets you sideload, so it really only affects Apple, right?
Well,
like you could get this and sideload it on.
Yes and no. Yes in that you're right, but no in that your average Android user probably doesn't know how to sideload.
I guarantee you that as soon as it became cut off, that would
they'll
go
figure
up
it out.
Like popularity would be like right now, there's no need to know that, but as soon as they take it out of the App Store, there's going to be a download and install button to just get the APK and install it on your Android device.
Sounds like,
but yeah,
sounds like we need to make a tutorial video on
how
to sideload
right now
so that it's up there and gets into the algorithm when this happens, and then we can get some more YouTube views.
That's a phenomenal idea, Tony. You should do that.
Just think ahead.
They're also trying to get TikTok to commit to giving people provide users with a copy of their data in a format that can be imported into competing apps. What apps compete with TikTok?
Well, Instagram.
Maybe.
With Instagram stories.
I feel like Instagram's
Facebook,
way
Reels.
way more curated and censored than TikTok is.
Yeah. But there's one more thing. Oh, the
X.
Yeah.
That doesn't count.
One more part of this is that this proposed ban, this bill, has reignited the Texas project. This is pretty common with EU companies where GDPR, what's that?
There it is.
GDPR, yeah. The privacy laws in Europe are a lot stricter.
Yep.
And they literally, like Germany, you have to store your data in Germany. And so like if you do business there, we had to spin up an Azure instance in Germany's data warehouse. And so Project Texas is kind of the same idea, where all TikTok data would be housed in Texas and siloed / firewalled off from the parent company ByteDance. But
how would you enforce that firewall? Like
how would,
get that
how
someone
would you
go in there
prove,
and audit it?
How would you prove the data hasn't been taken? Like the last time it happened, allegedly, they just had a TikTok employee pull the information from them for those reporters that got outed. So
yeah.
I don't know. Under the plan, they basically house all the data here, and ACLU and a couple are the ACLU and I think there's one other. Anyway, they're all upset, saying this is a First Amendment issue that the U.S. is crushing free speech, and TikTok agrees with that. They said that this measure is unconstitutional just because the bill sponsors a claim that banning TikTok isn't about suppressing speech. There's no denying that it would do that. So.
When did free speech suppression become an issue of private companies' platforms?
Yeah.
Bingo. 1,000%.
When did free speech
become
required on a platform? Like
exactly.
If you have free speech, go get a box and stand on the street and say what you want.
There's your free speech. You know?
Well, not only that, but it's important to
make your own
blog
on the internet.
Right? Yeah, make your own
free
blog.
Free speech does not mean free from consequence, right?
Also
you can say the crap you want.
Also true.
But there's going to be repercussions for what
you say. Is there a requirement to provide a platform? To do that.
According to the First Amendment, right?
That's the thing. And that's why, I mean, back before we had social media and even, if you want to say pre-internet days, nobody complained about, but you didn't have nearly as much
average
Joe Schmo complaining about free speech because free speech with things like the newspapers and things like that, because you had to have money to put your ads in the newspapers and get published in books, to publish your own stuff and things like that.
Arguably, pretty big things have come out that could have only come out on platforms like that, like some of the phone, the Patriot Act with some of the phone, data collection stuff that our country was doing to ourselves that normally could have been suppressed very easily. Because only 20 people in a small community would have known about it. So I see where they're saying that a platform is required to make free speech more available so that it gets out there. But at the same time, I see the other side of the argument.
Exactly. I'm not citing with ByteDance here
right.
at all. But, you know, when you build a platform and you police your own platform, unless there are government regulations in place, it's your platform, it's your rules, you know, unless you're breaking a law that is applicable, you know, such as, you know, human trafficking and stuff like that or whatever, information, you know, child porn, stuff like that, then obviously there's going to be consequences on the platform enforced by the government. But when it comes down to like First Amendment rights and things like that, it's a privately owned platform. Yep. They're not beholden to things like the First Amendment, you know? It's just, that's
America.
It's not how it works.
Like Elon Musk says, leave it to the American people. They'll be the ones to judge you.
That'd be like saying, you have to allow me to hang a sign for a political opponent on the wall of the exterior of your house, because that's free speech.
Yeah.
That's the equivalent here.
Yeah, it is the equivalent.
You know, I built this platform, but you have to let me use it how I want to, and you can't
right next
stop
to a really good road.
It.
So
yeah, I'm going to exercise my free speech, and I'm going to hang a sign on your wall because of free speech.
That's sort of that actually happens here. I've had friends have political signs put on their chain link fence in their front yard. Unrequested.
Yeah.
And they take them off, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But also, there's a big difference between on the chain link fence of your perimeter and access to the
barely.
Wall of your house.
I mean, it's your, you know still
I mean?
Your
it's,
land.
It's easier
you know?
To get to, and right. it's harder to police, you know? So, anyway.
But then again, if ByteDance is the only one saying they're not going to do it, we promise we're not doing that. Like, how are they policing it, you know? We're definitely not stealing your data. Using
they're like Google, right? They're of course using our data.
Scouts,
but I
honor.
Guarantee they're not using it for nefarious. I mean, they might be using it for nefarious purposes. But
it's just
more
like,
likely they're using it to make money, right?
Exactly.
You're the product.
Well, and
just like
you know,
Google,
that's what Google's difference is. They have a financial motive to do this, whereas the Chinese government being a pretty adversarial government to our own, you know, they have. Much different motives, so I can see where I can see how it's different. Google being an American company and whatever, we can restrict them. Like if ByteDance takes all of our TikTok data, and we never know about it, and even if we do know about it, what can we do to the Chinese government? Like,
that's where it gets extra hairy. Is when you're talking about
we can't sanction them.
Exactly, stuff that doesn't even come from
our economies
our
are
country,
too our economies you know? Are too entangled as far as the supply chain goes to sanction China.
Well, we've had some sanctions.
Yeah,
and,
just it screwed up the economy
a lot harder
for
your average person.
Yeah,
unfortunately,
bad news bears. All right, let's keep things moving. Let's talk about trash cans.
Oh my gosh, I found
what a segue,
Jaren. This is for you, bud, right here. If Dyson ever decided to make a trash can, it would look like this. This is the Mills $999 high-tech waste bin.
Oh, I'm interested.
How much?
Why
did you say
$900?
Why is it cool?
So basically, it's a in-home composter for your organic garbage.
Oh,
and
too much work.
In-home? Yeah.
Yeah, like
is it gonna stink? I mean, for $1,000, it better darn well not stink.
Yeah, it's supposed to be all sealed and everything. And this is the second version of it. The first version.
Why would you want a composter inside your house?
Because then you don't have rats running through the one outside. That's just an open.
No,
pile.
You'll just get rats inside.
This one's sealed.
It's supposed to prevent that. It's sealed.
And
so
it's
supposedly.
White.
This breaks the organic compounds down to the point where it can be used for chicken feed. Or like
compost for your
fertilized, garden. Yeah, compost for your garden. So,
wait, there's a subscription.
Yeah, the first one, the only way to get rid of the stuff other than just throwing it away, which you would have done anyway.
Well, yeah.
Why add the extra step of having it sit in compost?
So you had to pay them
to send that compost. To their facility.
Wherein they got to resell it again.
As chicken feed.
What?
So they're triple dipping?
Yeah.
Like, you buy the garbage can, you pay a subscription to have them take it away.
In this company?
Well, let me tell you.
Then they get to resell your compost for 100% profit.
Yep. after you paid for them to take
it away. Oh my gosh.
So you're
this
buying
is, Tim, this has gotta be Apple,
what are you,
right?
Are you, what are you buying here? Like good feelings? Is that it?
That was the first version of it. That's really what it felt like. This was one of the co-founders of this was this was
Matt
his
Rogers?
Project. Matt Rogers, one of the Nest co-founders. So basically
Nest got crappy.
It just before Google got its claws in it. So basically it just takes the food, grinds it down, dries it out, and sets it up to be, you know, organically recycled or whatever. Now the thing about the second generation one is it actually does it in 2.5 hours versus 10 hours.
10 hours
before. That's what it took before. And it can do 40 pounds of scraps before you need to empty it. So you can fit a lot of organic food in there. Yeah. They're not organic food, but organic
you still have to pay a monthly fee for a garbage can.
This
like,
is for, this
they
is
got
for
rid
people.
Of the monthly fee on this one if you don't want to use it anymore because it does a better job of processing it so you can just take it straight out to your garden.
Yeah.
So
that's fine. Yeah.
This
I
is
mean,
for people without kids, though, for sure. I would get plastic forks or cups or. Like styrofoam and whatever in this thing. The kids would be like, I just put it in there. I dumped a soda in there.
Thanks, kids.
So the previous prescription was $33 a month.
8 out of 10 kids.
Yeah.
And then the new prescription, if you want to still keep sending it to them, is you can it includes if you don't want to pay for the trash can up front, it's $30 a month. If you pay annually, or $50 if you pay monthly.
They got this backwards. They should be paying you.
You would think.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. They should be buying your compost.
Now, if you want to buy it and just ship the detritus off to them yourself, it's only $10 a month to ship it now if you buy the can outright.
They should be paying me $10 a month to do that for them.
Yeah. So, because anyway,
then they resell it, right? They've got to be reselling it on their end.
They've partnered with local farms.
Yeah,
by their place of composting, their compost factory. I don't know what you call it. Anyway,
I was hoping for some cool high tech trash can.
When
here.
Philanthropy so goes too far,
the whole point of this is to try and cut down on food waste going to landfills. That's the whole point of this project,
which is admirable.
Which is an admirable.
Is it though?
Because
food waste is the part that actually biodegrades in the trash.
And also at $1,000,
if it's trapped inside plastic, Jaron.
If you
at
have
$1,000, the barrier of entry is too high for most people
for sure.
that use this. That would
it, think of if you were buying this for the intent of I'm going to use it to compost my garden. How long would you have to run it to make back that $1,000 in fertilizer costs?
Let me tell you,
years,
40
five,
years,
five yeah. years, 10 years.
Yep. Small side story. I used pallets and created a compost pile this last summer, and I filled it to the top of a pallet. So like you're thinking 3.5 feet tall, right? Think of that in cubic feet. And I got a third of that in actual usable compost. After everything was done.
Because it breaks down. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, can you imagine how much
food waste?
Did
you have a mouse problem in there, though?
No mouse problem.
That's good.
We did, you know what? We did get one rat, and my dog rapidly took care of that problem.
Nice.
Ate about.
Good dog.
Yep.
Good doggo.
So, there you go. If you want to spend $1,000 on a food waste prevention process, special can that does it for you. It's there.
There you go.
For $1,000.
There's a thing for that.
This, Tony. I'm like, offended you thought I'd want this.
Well, see, it's just the high tech and supposed like futuristic thinking nature of it. It screams Dyson, you know, like their headphones with an air filter that doesn't actually filter your air. Or a hairdryer that costs
just a Bane mask. It's just a Bane mask.
That costs 8 times the amount of a regular hairdryer and does the same job. Things like that. You know, Dyson.
Dyson.
Dyson. All right, you don't have to pay this much.
I have a question for you guys. When was the last time you thought about humans having tails?
Today when I saw this article on
me too.
Show notes.
This was actually pretty interesting. So researchers have identified a unique DNA mutation in the TBXT gene, because we all know what that is, right? that are responsible for humans losing their tails over 25 million years ago. The same time that apes lost their tails and diverged from monkeys. Because monkeys still have tails. But
if we know what
not.
The gene is, can we flip it so we can get
can
tails
I get
back?
A head, can oh, I yeah. get a tail back?
That is an interesting question, Jared.
We can CRISPR that.
They actually did that with experiments in mice. So they did this in mice, and mice would actually lose their tails or have very short tails with the same mutation. And interestingly, the tailless mice actually showed higher rates of spina bifida. An
really?
Evolutionary trade-off, if you will.
Never mind. So, I just imagined a human with a tail, and
so when you asked when you asked wanted, when's the yes. last time you thought of humans with a tail, it was instantly taken to that movie Shallow Hal. Did you guys ever see that?
Yeah, with Jason Alexander.
With Jason Alexander, and he like shows him the tail. it's like one of the that's a sleeper. You got to go see that movie. It's a good one.
So the last interesting part about this article that I really liked and enjoyed was. The fact that we lost our tail is what led us to being bipedal and walking upright, which I thought was also very cool. They now can confirm that through this evolutionary discovery that scientists have made.
Just imagine a too fleshy tail.
Oh. Sticking out of the back of your pants.
Right?
Yeah.
Because there's
would
another
it be
gene
hairy?
That made.
Would it
yeah,
be
no,
hairy
there's another gene that we. Yeah,
it would be hairy like a monkey.
No, it'd so be another, like yeah, lake be, hairy.
Yeah.
With a lot
leg
of flesh
hairy.
Underneath.
Yeah. You know, like we lost the gene. We had the gene switched off that gives us full on body hair all over. And so we would just get this like skin fleshy leg hair.
Like a rat
tail. Yeah.
Would we have like a little tuft of hair at the end? Or would it be like
pubic-y? Exactly.
Oh, no.
It wouldn't grow in. It wouldn't grow in until
so
you
bad.
Until you hit puberty. And then all of a sudden it would puff out at the end.
Yeah, it would puff out, and it would be all the rage for social media influencers to show off their tail puff.
Yeah,
we'd have to put holes in all of our chairs.
The worst part is that this would all just be normal if we still had
we
tails.
Wouldn't even think about it because it's just how it's always been.
Like, would the tail become sexy? Like, ooh, check out her tail.
What kind of nerves would that be connected to?
It could if you're watching Avatar.
Are we? I was going to say, we're getting pretty close to Avatar. There, you know? It's also how they control animals.
Imagine trying to put sunscreen on your tail. That'd be a
tail mingler.
This has been a lot of strokes. This story has brought all the entertainment I could have hoped for and then some.
Imagine when the gene starts to reintroduce and there's this weird middle ground of the tailless and the tailed. And if you want to be
have
and,
a tail.
And if you want to, and if you want to try to fit in to go to Subway, that's a tail, you know, tail free zone. Cause that would happen again. We'd be segregated. You'd have to like tuck it into your pants.
The tail.
And they'd be like, you tuck and tail, huh? Like tuck and tail would have a whole, anyway.
If I could grab things with my tail and like,
that's what I mean.
Put, and have it be super long and feed myself with my tail while my hands played games or something.
I want a prehensile tail. That's what I want.
Imagine the gaming industry, like having another appendage. Dude, you'd have a whole other mouse you could use.
You could scratch anywhere on your body without having to move your hands.
I'm up. I'm here for this. Turn it on.
Yep.
I'll take the risk.
See, you guys are all naysaying this. I think it's a great idea.
I'm in the possibilities. Bad idea camp.
I think
do not want one.
Firmly in the body horror area for
Well,
me.
Naturally. But it would be so useful.
Tony says, sign me up. All right, Tony, I want to hear about your new 3D printer. This thing sounds pretty sweet.
Oh, baby. So back in October or November, I ordered a K1 Max from Matter Hackers, and I knew it was a pre-order because it was sold out everywhere, so I knew I was ordering one that was going to be on a ship from Creality in China soon, and I finally got it 2 months later. And I have been printing like crazy ever since I got that. So, as you might know, I currently still have the old 3D printer. The Creality Ender 3 S1 Pro. And I just never could get that thing to do what I wanted it to do consistently. And so I basically stopped 3D printing for a while. And then I saw the sale on this one. So normally these are $900 or $950, and I got it on sale for like $725 around mid-November. And let me show you the difference in the quality here. So I'll zoom this in a little bit. So here is something I printed on the old one.
Use your words, Tony.
Those are these, infinite.
Now, what are you showing us right now?
This is one of those infinite cubes.
This is one of those fidget cubes that just folds in on itself continuously forever and ever as you play with it. And you can hear it. It's kind of rattly.
The tolerances aren't great, is what you're telling me.
Yeah, the tolerances aren't great. You can see you can't really see it well from this camera, but you can clearly make out the different layer lines, and the edges aren't clean, things like that. And then here's one that I printed on my new printer, and this is what it sounds like when I shake it.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Mm, and
shake it.
It is
still pretty tolerances loose. It's on not it. Tight?
It's not tight. The tolerances on it are much, much higher, and I probably could have dialed that in if I wanted to on the Ender or chose a different model, but with this one, I didn't have to do any of that. I just downloaded the file, chose a print quality, and told it
is
to
it
go.
Is it faster?
Oh, it is 5 times faster.
Oh, yeah. That's all I care. Like, that's so, my so main this, thing with this.
This poopy one took, I want to say this was like a 3.5 or 4 hour print. This guy printed in 1.5 hours.
Holy moly.
And it might have been 1 hour and 45 minutes. Anyway,
even
the point
still,
is,
that's way faster.
It's way, way, way faster. So that's an example of one of the fidget cubes that I enjoy playing with. This is a little robot guy.
He's so cute.
And you got him to work without breaking his legs
yep,
off?
Yep, I finally got him to work with that. Everything moves like it should.
Was he a print in place?
Yeah, I didn't put this together at all. It printed, wow. And I just started moving it, and broke the little. You know, it touches a teeny bit when it prints, so it stays.
Sure, that's how the print and play stuff works.
Yeah, exactly. But now, the quality is just fantastic.
It looks smooth. Yeah, it looks really smooth.
And then, one step further, my buddy Lee George Cade from the Geek Show does a lot of tabletop stuff. He loves painting miniatures. He asked me to print some tabletop housing things for him. Nice. And so this is the roof of one of the houses I printed for him. And the quality is just...
Oh, it's almost like it's been formed.
So much better than anything I played with before.
That looks like it's been cast.
I mean, I was going to say, on the camera, I would never have known that's 3D printed.
It even does the little lattices, the lattice work on the windows.
That's cool.
So you look in here, it prints... That's the fireplace with like a couple of loaves of bread in the fire. And the freaking door for the oven, and you go around here, the brickwork, the stonework on the side, it's all there, and it looks fantastic. You go look inside, and because this is a bakery, there's a shelf with a bunch of donuts and stuff
Floor tiles and everything. They look great.
Let me get a little more light here so you can see it. Oh, there we go.
What was the setup like and configuration, and like it actually like time from you got it out of the box to like printing quality?
So you can see right there, there's cakes, donuts, rolls. It's amazing. I so love good. This thing.
You're now, as cool as Henry Cavill now. I bet he prints his own 3D figures, dude, for Warhammer.
He probably does. So time from, let me get out of the full screen here. That's enough of me. Open the box to printing, 45 minutes.
And you like it was quality, non-crap.
Yep.
Like it was good.
Now, that being said, afterwards, after I did a few test prints, I went in and did a little bit of adjusting and things like that to fine-tune. And then it also will depend greatly on the quality of the STL or the slicer. So, like, oh, my camera's like super goofy now because I did all the
shiny. Yeah, I remember last time with your last one, it took you a long time to start printing quality stuff, and like you had to call an Uncle Squinky for help, and like it wasn't user friendly.
Did you talk Squink into getting one of these, or did he talk?
He's the one that talked me into getting one.
This sounds like something you would find.
And so I did have an issue early on, a couple weeks after I started playing with it, that and it was my fault. make sure you follow the directions on the lid when it says, when printing PLA, leave the lid open on the top, because otherwise your nozzle gets heat creep and it just totally jams up the filament in there. And so I had that happen, and I was not careful or slow when I was taking apart the print head. So I broke a few pieces and had to order replacement parts. But ordered the replacement parts. It was. Eventually, I found out it was because I reproduced the problem accidentally. And I was like, wait a minute.
The company.
I thought it was bad filament. But it worked out. Also, shout out to Ender. Their filament is good, and they have very good customer service.
Nice.
So anyway, what did I say? Ender? No, not Ender.
Reality.
No, it's not.
What you meant.
No, what was the company that I bought that filament from? Anyway, I can't remember now, because Ender is the name of the Elegoo. That's what it was. Elegoo. Elegoo filament is good. So anyway, long story long, it's awesome. Once I got it put back together and calibrated again, and that's another thing. You don't have to do anything to really calibrate this other than make sure you went through the setup process so you remove any of the extra shipping screws, and then after that's done, you hit the calibrate button, and it does everything else for you.
Totally worth it. How much on sale did you get it for?
I got it for $720.
So 20% off?
Yeah, somewhere around there, but you can get the K1 or the K1C for a lot cheaper. I went with the Max because it had a bigger print volume, larger print volume
area.
Right. But there's quite a few competitors out there that do similar style printers. Bamboo has a couple of models and whatnot. But this model, this review is specifically for the K1 Max. And once I followed the directions on the enclosure recommendations, then I haven't had an issue since then, and it has just continually printed fast quality prints.
I use
Orca Slicer as the STL slicer for setting up the G code for the prints, and it's been fantastic. Orca is based off Prusa Slicer, I think, and it's an open source, like, community developed slicer, and they already have set up loads for the different K1 series. You just choose K1 Max, and it has all the specs dialed in for you automatically.
Nice.
That is super.
So anyway,
nice.
I honestly can't give this anything less than a 9 out of 10, because once...
What at full price? What about at full price?
At full price, I would say it's still worth a 9 out of 10 minimum, yeah. Because you follow the directions, you use it like it's supposed to be used, and it has been just a joy to work with.
Because I feel like that's one of the things that the 3D printing world suffers from is experience. Like, you have to be, really into tweaking.
Yeah.
Like, the barrier, like the technical barrier for entry is high.
It was.
So it sounds like this pulls a lot of that out, and it's faster.
Yeah.
Better supported.
It pulls quite a bit of that out, and then it also now that being said, you can tweak to your heart's content with things on this if you want to, but if you just want to do a baseline, fast, decent print, you can't go wrong. It's been awesome. I'm sitting here thinking, do I need to get a second one?
You know what I need? You know what?
No, I don't.
They need to start. They need to start releasing like Lego sets. In the printables, so it's like you don't have to buy the box of Millennium Falcon anymore. You just print it.
I mean, someday that would be cool, but the quality of the plastic and the durability of that plastic is far above anything you'll get out of a 3D printer right now. At least not a commercial level 3D printer. So,
yeah, if you're looking for good deals on Lego, Owen, I recommend the off-brand King mold from Alibaba.
Oh, okay.
I've heard, like, so I have not had any for my set myself, but I've seen sets from my friends have had.
Their quality is just
as good as Lego, if not better. It's not like the old days where you used to get like the Mega Block sets that were not mixed with the Lego sets. You're like,
exactly.
No!
I'm afraid of contamination.
These ones are Lego quality, and I would recommend them.
But will they work with Lego?
Yes, they will.
Oh, okay, because that's the thing. Like, Mega Bloks, they slightly changed the hole placement so that you would be like, this doesn't fit. And so there was contamination of your Lego sets.
Nope. King my kids mold would mix them all together. A 1,000% ripoff of Lego out of China. That's really good. And not only that, but because they're out of China, they just use whatever the crap IP they want and just go crazy. So there's a lot of good IP there, too.
So you could, like, build anything. They're like, we don't have to pay anybody anything.
They have all kinds of really cool Star Wars sets that are Lego, that are not Lego endorsed or Star Wars brand. I mean, they're ripoffs. They're like, but they're branded as Star Wars.
This is Ron Weaselton.
Yeah. Nice. Anyway, that's a complete side note there on Lego stuff.
So,
all right, so we are coming up here on time. Let's wrap things up. One more thing we need to talk about that is a little time sensitive is the Rivian will show off the R2.
Oh, that's really all that we need to mention is on the 7th, so 2 days from now.
I thought these guys Rivian's were declaring bankruptcy.
No, Rivian isn't declaring bankruptcy.
They lose money on every vehicle they sell. Okay.
I was going to say yet, but it might happen. Who knows? Because they need to get their house in order as far as making money on their stuff. But they put out a pretty good product, at least so far. So the R2 is their smaller SUV, maybe like crossover level. It's supposed to be less expensive and smaller, but still have a lot of the same goodies and whatnot of the bigger, more expensive ones. So we'll report on that next week when they show off everything.
Yep. Excellent. All right. I just want to make sure we touched on it because, you know, it looked time sensitive. That's all. Mm-hmm. So, that's our show. We're going to, thank our Patreon listeners. If you are a Patreon listener, we thank you. If you are, you get a bunch of really cool, awesome perks, such as the private Discord channel. You get the in-between show, which is my favorite perk. And if you pay $6 or more, you get a shout out on the air. That's you, Jaren.
Okay. Shout out to David Broshinsky, Connor Keysaw, and Woofaball Tony. They are our ultra special tech daddies. Thank you.
Yeah.
Jason Eatman, I think that's new. Welcome. Que onda, Carnal. Control the Future, Not the Show. Andy Bird, Be the 8-year-old. Tony, the Home Theater Geek. What?
That's not me. He started geek. Last. He came on last week.
Oh, he's not calling you a home theater.
No. That's his name. Yeah.
Okay, that is acceptable. All right. Travis Johnson, buy Geek Show Arcade Help Desk stickers at Pie Man Graphics on Etsy. All proceeds go to Lee George Cade's medical bills. Jeremy, no name, no color. Keslo, Eric Steinman, Eric Cruz. Owen has tech cred. Then some random
plus 10.
Number.
Yeah.
Plus 5.5.
Okay.
5.5.
Matt Nelson, Harry Patch, Adam, Aaron Faulkner, Stuart Lloyd. History is there for you to learn from or repeat, your choice. Ryan M. and Adam Hecht. Thank you.
All right.
I learn from it and repeat it.
Yeah. So thank you. Thank you, dear listener, for making it this far in the show. If you have been to the show, personally, I thank you. And take us out. Lando has got you right here. Sure do, Lando. Thanks.
I wanted to do it.
Go ahead, Jaren.
You got one,
Oh, really?
Jaren?
It's in the channel, bro.
All right. Need someone's help? Don't solve it yourself. Just scream at them louder. Be an end user.